Welcome to the Next Thing in Slang podcast. My name is Peter Jones. I'm pastor of Christ Church in Morgantown, West Virginia. Today I want to talk to you about instilling loyalty in our sons and our daughters as well, but especially our sons. Over the last several decades, we have seen the Christian church separate herself from patriotism, separate herself from America. It used to be you have to have the American flag in the sanctuary, you have the Pledge of Allegiance, you have all these different things, these things Christians did, these things Christians put in their churches that would remind them of America, that would help associate the church with America. And this is faded, and that's a good thing. In a lot of ways, the church being intimately tied with America was not a good thing, was not healthy, and we've seen a lot of negative effects from that over the last 50 years or so. But one of the dangers of losing that patriotic spirit, if I can use that term, is that we lose something to fight for. We are a very cynical culture, a culture that does not like much. We make fun of just about everything. We make fun of our politicians. We make fun of our movie stars. We make fun. Everything is there to be torn down and destroyed. Now, whether it's a book or a movie or a pastor or whoever, maybe we're all, everything and everyone is there to be destroyed. But when that's the case, who do you love? Who are you loyal to? Who do you fight for? And it used to be that you could say you fought for your country. And that was what our fathers did in World War II and in the World War I. And even going back to the Civil War, and our founding fathers, they fought for our country. They fought for ideas of freedom. They fought for something they wanted for their children or something they thought they were carrying on from their parents or their grandparents. But when we live in such a cynical age where everything is to be torn down, how do we instill in our sons and our daughters a sense of loyalty, a sense of this is worth fighting for, this is worth fighting over, this is a hill to die on? And I want to encourage fathers, especially this today, I want to encourage them to think carefully about how they instill and how they model loyalty. And I want to point out three specific areas that we as Christian fathers need to instill loyalty or teach loyalty or cultivate loyalty in our children. But I also want to encourage us to model loyalty here. And there's three specific areas: the church, the family, and the place. Church, family, place. Let's start with the church first. We need to have a deep, fierce loyalty to the church. And by church here, I don't mean the big church all across the world. That's good. We should have a loyalty to her as well. But I mean your local church body. I mean the people you meet with on Sunday and Wednesday night and Sunday night. I mean your pastors and your elders and your fellow Christians who sit beside you in the pews. Those need to be your people. You need to love them. You need to care for them. You need to defend them. You need to protect them. You need to guard them. You need to praise them. They need to be your people. And I think a lot of fathers in particular, in our, my circles, reformed, more patriarchal, if I can use that term, circles, a lot of fathers can be extremely negative about the local church body. And is it any surprise that many of their sons grew up to reject the church altogether? So the first thing we need to do is have a fierce loyalty to the local church, to those people. And this doesn't mean you never disagree. It doesn't mean you never have problems. It doesn't mean you have to go along with everything that's happening. But it does mean there's a deep loyalty there. Why am I not using the term love? Why am I using the term loyalty instead of the term love? Well, the term love has lost almost any real meaning in our culture. And I thought about this a while back, several months ago. I thought, you know what? I'm going to start using the term loyalty. Try to use that more. Because that instills this sense of like a duty, a sense of being bound to someone else. And love used to have that same connotation. It still does. In many ways, but in a lot of ways, love is so murky. Or we said loyalty, are you loyal? I'm like, yes, I'm loyal. I'm loyal to that person. I'm loyal to my wife. I'm loyal to my church. So that's why I'm using the term loyal instead of the term love. So I would encourage you first, fathers, to model and to instill in your sons, in your daughters as well, particularly your sons, a loyalty to the local church, a fierce love of those people that you meet with every Sunday morning, of those leaders that God has put over you. And if you can't do that, if you feel like you can't, then you probably need to find the church, or you need to examine your own heart and say, hey, maybe there's something wrong with me here. Maybe I'm not willing to really be a part of anything. I want to be separate. I want to be sort of standoffish. And that's not what God has called us to. The second place we're supposed to be loyal is to our family, obviously. This, again, is very difficult in our age. Our families are separated. Think about divorce. You can think about just the fact that we can travel all across the country. My parents live in Mississippi. I live in West Virginia. My brother lives in Alabama. And my in-laws live in Oregon. This is part of the age we live in. Nonetheless, we want to model and to cultivate and to instill in our sons, for our sons and in our sons, a sense of loyalty to family, a love for parents and grandparents, and grandparents and parents, a love for your sons and daughters, a love for your nieces and nephews and your aunts and your uncles, a love for the ones who came before, loyalty to the ones who came before. And it doesn't mean it has to be perfect again. It doesn't mean you could never disagree. It doesn't mean son has to do everything dad says or daughter has to do everything mom says. It doesn't mean you can never move away from your grandparents. It just means there still needs to be this loyalty, this love. And this comes out especially in how we speak of them. Do we speak well of our family members? And there's always some black sheep out there. There's always somebody in the family who's very, very difficult to speak well of. And then this isn't an invitation to overlook sin or to compromise or do anything of that sort. But it is an encouragement to make sure that we are speaking well wherever we can, that we are loyal to our family members, and that we love them, and that we care for them, and that we have a duty, a sense of duty to them and towards them in our speech and in our actions. You know? So we've got the church, the local church body, your family, and then the third item that we need to be loyal to, the thing we need to be loyal to, is our place, our community. And I never really thought about this until I moved to Morgantown. In Morgantown, we have a college, West Virginia University, 30,000 plus students, and the students are loyal to that university. Now, there's a lot of problems that come with the university town, a lot of issues, a lot of things that would rather not be that way. But one thing you do get, one of the positives, is that the people here love the university. They wear it on their shirts. They tattoo it on their arms. They go to the football games. They have flags on their cars and all this sort of thing. They love the university. And for the first time, I began to think through this sense of loving the place where we live. And man, I think as Christians, we have such a difficult time with this. How many of us walk around bad-mouthing our community? And yeah, there's sin everywhere. There's messes everywhere. There's bad government. There's bad politicians. There's bad businesses. I live in a university town where they're always promoting the lesbian agenda, the gay agenda. They have Atheist Week. Professors are teaching bad stuff, but it's my community, and it's my call to be loyal to her, to love her. And again, this isn't an invitation to overlook sin. It's an invitation that I love being here. And there's a pastor friend of mine, and his church has this great little slogan. It says, "We love the city. We love Jesus. We want the two to meet. We love the city. We love Jesus. We want the two to meet." And that's exactly the case. We want to love our city, love our community, love our little rural town where we live in. Christian fathers, do we go around bad-mouthing everything in our community, complaining and whining about everything? Or is there just a sense of loyalty? I love this place. And our children pick up on this naturally. It's funny, my sons love Morgantown. They love West Virginia. And I could squelch that. I could say, well, no, you need to love heaven, or you need to love Jesus, or you need to love... No, but God wants us to love the community, be loyal to the community that we live in, okay? So, I'm not a big fan of attaching ourselves as Christians to, America, to being patriotic or different things like that necessarily, but we do want to have this sense of loyalty, loyalty to our local church, loyalty to our family, and loyalty to the place that we live. This fierce sense of devotion and duty to the people that we actually live with and to the people that we're around day in and day out, especially on Sunday mornings. If we don't give this to our sons, they will not know what to fight for. And I think this is the one thing that's come to mind as I've thought this through. They will not know what to fight for. They will. Do you fight for your family or do you destroy them, fight against them? Do you fight for your church or do you fight against it? Do you fight for your community or do you fight against it? And again, usually fighting for someone means you're fighting against sin and against evil and against wickedness and against injustice. This is not an encouragement just to go along with whatever's happening. It is an encouragement, though, to know where the hills to die on are at. And I fear I fear that a lot of our sons are growing up without any sense of duty and loyalty and responsibility to the people around them. And if that's the case, when the time comes for them to pick up arms, they will not know what to do. And I don't mean necessarily like real arms, like guns. It could be that, but it could also be just picking up, you know, the political arms. It could be picking up writing or teaching or defending. It could be a whole host of things with words or with guns or with all. There's lots of ways to fight, is my point. But if we don't instill in our sons a sense of duty, a sense of this is worth fighting for, my family's worth fighting for, my church is worth fighting for and defending, my community's worth fighting for and defending, if we don't instill that, they'll just get wiped out. They'll just get run over, whether it's by spiritual lies and deceit, whether it's by physical armies. They'll just get wiped out. So fathers, I encourage you to be fiercely loyal to your local church, to be fiercely loyal to your family, to be fiercely loyal to your community. Teach your sons to love the church, the local church. Teach your sons to love their family, love their sisters and their brothers and their mother and their grandmother and their grandfather and their great aunt and anybody else who comes along. Teach them to love them. This is your family. And then finally, teach them to love the place they live, the community they live in. All right, well, that's all I have for today. Again, my name is Peter Jones. This is the Singing and Slaying Podcast. You can find me at singingandslaying.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. If you'd like to look at the church, you can find that at christchurchofmorgantown.org. Thank you, and God bless.